Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels storm.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
This morning's message is a series of messages entitled The Intermediate State Between Death and the Rapture. This message is going to rock your world and rattle your preconceived notion of where the dead in Christ reside until the Lord's return. There is no shortage of false teachings about Christ and the Holy Bible in our current age of apostasy. The Apostle Paul, in his second letter to Timothy, urges him and every disciple to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Can being ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ be a reality for the lazy studier? Apparently so. That means, well done, thou good and faithful servant, may not be the words they hear at the judgment, but instead, thou wicked and slothful servant. A sad indictment indeed. There is a truth you are going to learn in this series that requires an in-depth study of the authoritative Word of God, and it will change your understanding of where the dead are at this very moment. You then will discover how misguided we have all been by oversimplified exegesis of the Scriptures by lazy students of the Bible. This series will answer the question of where you, who love Christ will be upon your death and the death of all those who have gone before us. For example, slowly read and then note this simple thought Jesus leaves his disciples shortly before his crucifixion, burial, and resurrection in John 14, verse 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, and where I am, there ye may be also. Without any pretense, please notice that when he comes again, then will we who are in Christ be with him and no sooner. Enjoy this morning's message as we go digging for precious nuggets of scriptural understanding. This is part 6.
For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Not that he will bring them down from heaven with him. He means he will bring them who are in the graves with him up into the air. There's that confusion there. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, those who are dead in Jesus, will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Does it say all the hosts that are in heaven are going to descend with him? It just says he's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God. The last trump that's spoken of in another passage in Corinthians. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. The dead, those who are in the graves, are going to arise. That means their soul will come out of the belly of the earth, the heart of the earth, out of paradise, out of the bosom of Abraham, because Abraham's going to be part of that crowd rising up, and their souls are going to meet their bodies, and they're going to raise up. Their bodies that have been decaying for hundreds and years and thousands of years are going to rise up and be transformed. And alive, made alive. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, Paul is writing, that are still living when he comes, then we which are alive and remain shall be, there's that word, caught up. That's where we get the word rapture in the Latin, together with them in the clouds. In the clouds, where the pavilion is, not where the Father is, not where our Heavenly Father is. In the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. In the air. There's still air in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Are you comforted? I'm comforted by these words. Job says, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. What is he saying there? He's saying, I'm going to die. Somebody's going to put my body in a grave or in a tomb or a mausoleum, and the worms, and it's going to decay and it's going to stinketh. Just like Lazarus' body stunketh after 4 days, because it went through the decay process. But he says, yet in my flesh shall I see God. He believed in the resurrection. One day that body is going to be glorified. That soul is going to be reunited with the body. The body is going to be transformed in the twinkling of an eye. And we're going to ascend, and he's going to ascend before God. But he knew that his body was going to be buried in a grave. It has to wait until that glorification, that day of glorification. Glorification is still future. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Here's another proof. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. Slept in the Lord means they're dead. They died in Christ. But he's the first fruits that rises up from the grave. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. The last Adam. Christ is the last Adam, it refers to in Corinthians. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. And no sooner. At his coming and no sooner. So Christ is the only one who's ascended and risen. Behold, I show you a mystery. But we shall not all sleep. That means some of us are going to be living on the earth when he comes back. And we shall all be changed. This is another rapture, dealing with the rapture again. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. He'll say, come forth, your name, and you'll come out of the grave. Your name, my name, and we will come out of the grave. And it will sound like a trumpet, and all the names will be read off almost instantaneously. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible. We will be raised incorruptible. We will be in a glorified body. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Amen. Amen. You will have no death anymore. There will be no death. You'll be in a glorified body, but only when the soul and the body are come together. Now, this next passage is really critical, important here in point 4 on the Roman numeral 6. For we know that if our earthly house, what is your earthly house? This body. Okay? This body is your earthly house. Of this tabernacle were dissolved. Okay? Someday it's going to dissolve. It's going to fall apart. It's already falling apart. I took my daughter skiing yesterday, and I feel like I'm falling apart. Oh, my goodness. And we came back with some of the funniest stories in the world. We laughed last night so hard. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle was dissolved, we have a building of God. That's the incorruption, the incorruptible, that's the immortality, the building of God. That's talking about the transformation, the glorification of the body. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan. Means God has the instrument and the ability to glorify that body. How he does it, that's a mystery. But just like the mystery and the power of God to call nothing into matter, into existence, he can transform your dead body and carcass in a grave in a twinkling of an eye. Amen? Does that make sense? The building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven, that glorified body. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. What does that naked mean? Not naked like what we think of naked. It means a disembodied soul. A soul that's in the bosom of Abraham. A soul that's in the paradise in the center of the earth, under the altar of the earth. That soul is naked until it is clothed with the glorified body that comes down from heaven with a shout and says, "Arise, come out of the grave." Now, here's a quiz question for you. Was Lazarus glorified? When he came out of the grave, was he glorified? Did he have his body came to life, but was he glorified at a body that doesn't die anymore? No. Only Christ came out of the grave with glorified body. All the red bodies that have been resurrected before him and afterwards by the disciples, the apostles, came out as a living soul. And they would die again. Lazarus died again. I'm getting excited. So, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life, that be swallowed up of immortality. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. That's dealing, let me just read on. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That presence is not when you immediately die, you're not present with the Lord. You are only present with the Lord when he comes back. There are a lot of your ancient men who wrote scriptures, wrote commentaries and discussions on the prophecy of God. We talk a lot about the second coming of Christ. They talk about this, the presence of God, the parousia, when he becomes present. His presence, when he comes and is present. Just because you die doesn't mean you're going to be instantly present with the Lord. Now, Jesus said he gave you the Great Commission. He said, go out and baptize and teach the nations and baptize in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I am with you always. Is God present in this room where two or three are gathered in my name? God's present, right? Solomon said when he built the temple, in his prayer of dedication, he said, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? He asked that question. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I shall have built thee? God's present everywhere. He's huge. Our God's a big God. He's omnipresent. But this is the presence of Christ. When he returns, the presence of Christ. So to be absent from the body is not to be present with the Lord immediately. It's going to take place. He'll be comforted. He'll be resting in the bosom of Abraham, but he's not present with the Lord. That's to come. That's still future. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Labor to be accepted of him. This is dealing with the judgment seat of Christ, to rule and reign with him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. There's a false teaching out there. I was looking at a YouTube, I think it was a YouTube, it may have been an article, about, well, remember I told you that the Catholic Church, some of your Protestant churches, believe that when you take the bread in communion and you drink of the blood or drink the wine, the grape juice in the cup, that that's actually the blood of Christ and actually the body of Christ has been transformed. Transubstantiation, they call it. They believe, this one article was saying that they teach that God is present in the Eucharist. They call that the Eucharist. That God is present in that. No, God's not present in that. You're not eating God. You're not eating his flesh. You're not drinking his blood. They're representative. They're figurative. They're a picture. It's not the physical body and blood of Christ. The Lord is omnipresent. King David said, "Where will I go from thy spirit? Where," or whither, whither, you can put the word where, "whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." David said that, that God is present everywhere, even in hell. In Psalm 116, verse 8 and 9, write those references down. "For thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living." That's still future. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20 and 24. "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. For I am in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nonetheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." Dr. Dixon labored as hard as he could, pushed as hard as he could. Just his old body was giving out on him. And finally, he just said, "I can't push any harder, any longer." That body just gave out. But he wanted to be with you. He wanted to warn churches. His passion was to warn the preachers and the churches about the multitude of things that he taught, especially the unregistered teaching, the kingdom teaching that God had revealed to him in the last 20 years of his ministry. He wanted to teach that and write and get the information out as fast as he could. Listen to these quotes and we will end here. And we will continue this next week. "Life in Christ is good. Death in Christ is better. Resurrection in Christ is best." So that interim, that intermediate state, is a lot better than living on this earth. You're going to be in a rest. It's going to be a rest. You're going to be in the bosom of Abraham. You're going to be in paradise, but you're going to be under the earth. But resurrection in Christ, when he calls you up to the clouds and you're in your glorified body and you're clothed and you're not found naked. Naked means that your soul is not clothed upon. "Christ is mine." Samuel Rutherford, from the 1600s. He was quoted a lot by our founding father, Samuel Rutherford. "Christ is mine and I am his. And now there stands between nothing between me and resurrection except paradise. Death, for all the watchful, is only an incident on the way to rapture." This is a quote by Dean Alford. Really, it was Henry Alford. He was a dean, but many called him Dean Alford. He was the Dean of Canterbury, wrote in the 1800s. He had this put on the epitaph of his tombstone. the inn of a traveler on his way to Jerusalem. Speaking New Jerusalem. An inn of a traveler on his way to Jerusalem. Does that, am I painting the picture clearer for your understanding? Clearer for your understanding that we will never see the third heaven where the Son sits at the right hand of the Father. We will ascend from the bottom of the earth, from the belly of the earth, as the Lord says, at the heart of the earth, from paradise, the bosom of Abraham, and when the body is resurrected, we will be in the presence of the Lord forevermore. That's going to be a glorious day. That's going to be a glorious day. But the big thing we need to make sure between now and that time is how we're living in Christ. Because we don't want to be accidentally mistaken and thrown into hell because of our disobedience. And let me tell you, there are a lot of disobedient believers living for hell. They're not living for Christ. They are hell bound. They have rejected the Word of God. They got saved at a young age, at some particular age in their lives, and they've given up on the Lord. They discontinue following Him. They don't stay in the Word of God. They get offended very easily, and they fall away. We need to check ourselves. Check if we're ready to die and be in the bosom of Abraham or Lazarus. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each person here. I pray, Lord, you would bless them mightily, help them to grow and understand what the Word of God has to teach. The Word of God is rich in truth and understanding and knowledge. Lord, I pray that we would be filled with your Word, filled with your truth, filled with an understanding, knowledge, Lord. Sometimes our knowledge is going to even be profound in the Christian community in which we live. As we are in the last days, the days of the Laodicean church, that Lord, you say you're going to basically spit out of your mouth and vomit out of your mouth for their wickedness and vileness. And Lord, they think they're rich, and God, you tell them that they are naked and poor and wretched. And Lord, I just pray we are not part of that. Though we may stand out, we may be mocked, we may be ridiculed, we may not be understood by the Christian community around us, help us to desire Christ in our lives and not be caught up with false teaching and doctrines. In Christ's name we pray, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week in person and right here on Freedom 95.